Thanks for bringing a sort of a complete delegation from CEDA, and you had to top up with the DDG in case things had to happen. But thanks very much for that. To the chairperson, thanks very much for making it, always. We all know one another now. So we'll start with the presentation, and if you've forgotten my name, we'll see when we answer, we'll have questions. I'm not sure whether the chairperson will open and the DDG would, or the chairperson would have some opening remarks. Chairperson.
Chairman and members of the committee, thank you very much for hosting us once again. We are back to report yet another year, which we characterize as a year of success, in the sense that the organization is as stable as we still know it, and that stability has so far shown us greater capacity to be able to do things, more things and more things differently. Indeed, our tendency is to reflect on our performance as an organization that has shown that the capabilities and stature that are growing each year. The performance of the organization would be entailed in the annual report, which the CEO will take the committee through. We have indeed performed well in that the Auditor General, I think, would soon become less interested in us, Chair. And I think the CEO would emphasize on that. We have, of course, assessed our performance, and which we do frequently. And we felt that, as all of us know, we felt that it was important to change the strategy of CEDA. And this report is one of those that will begin to reflect the change in direction where we used to be helping a lot of individual people who knock at our doors, but are now beginning to say, hold on, the organization needs to be able to deal with a much bigger projects. Concentrate on collectively owned enterprises and also spend much longer time with each client as opposed to just helping in one part of the business or another. So some of the achievements might look like they are low, but they are not, they're possibly low in numbers, but in value much greater, in that the time that we've spent has actually given us what we call value for money. We have, as an organization, exceeded about 77% of our total planned indicators. An overwhelming number of by more than 5%. We have operated, as we all know, against the effects of the global financial crisis that started in 2008, which continues to be felt today. We've also seen that the South Africa Labour Force Survey for 2010-2011 financial year reported that approximately a quarter of South Africa's economically active population remains unemployed. Still against this backdrop, the CEDA assisted clients seem to have fared much better than the general trend. About 37% share of the surveyed clients indicated an increase in their turnover, and 27% indicated an increase in the number of people employed. This is despite the fact that CEDA clients are largely made up of micro and survivalists, which we refer to as necessity
entrepreneurs mostly. This is a segment of the SMME sector that lacks the capacity to create jobs according to the GEMS report. However, as I indicated, 27% of our clients have shown an increase in the number of people employed. The CEDA technology is part of our major programs, was able to create 893 direct jobs and a further 2,920 indirect jobs and 1,492 casual jobs during the financial year. I've already indicated that the direction and stability of the organization positions CEDA as a key player in the job creation objective of this administration. And we do hope that we'll continue to receive the support that we are receiving from the DTI, the committee, and other partners whom we deal with at the provincial level as well as local government level. So simply put, Chair, this period has been defined by a very strong belief in our capability of the organization in its course. And it has been endorsed by quite a number of stakeholders, both internally and externally. On that note, Chair, I want to say thank you very much for receiving us once more to reflect on our detailed financial report and hand over to the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. The Chair of the Committee, Honorable Gamede, Honorable Members, the Director General of the DTI, Mr. Sipho Zikode, Max Thibela, Chief Director for Stakeholder Relations and Institutions at the DTI. Honorable Chair, I'm bringing here an annual report for CEDA for the year 2010-2011. I'm with my executive team here, whom I'm proud to say that together we have achieved an excellent set of results with the direction that were given by the board under the leadership of the chairman, Mr. Mgomezulu, here next to me. Just to introduce my team, I've got Ranjit Alimotri there, who's wearing a blue shirt, who's the executive responsible for CEDA technology program. Next to him, we have the chief operating officer, Mr. Kuni Slabbert. Next to Kuni and or next to me, just to my left, is the chief financial officer, Marilis Wakandoren. And next to the chairman on the far right is Mr. Lusapho Njenge, who is responsible for strategy and organizational performance. Just to carry on with the rest of the presentation, that's the contents which we are going to cover in the presentation. The delegation I've already introduced. Perhaps, Honorable Chair, let me start off by saying that yesterday, at the briefing of the New Age, the State President dedicated a whole page of his speech to the work that CEDA is doing around small business development, acknowledging the benefits that the country is starting to reap out of the network that CEDA has created and the work that CEDA continues to do throughout the country in respect of small business development. The starting off point in terms of my presentation is to acknowledge what the Auditor General had to say in relation to both performance management as well as financial management within CEDA in the year under review. The Auditor General in the management report mentioned that there are no matters that affect the audit opinion. They also found out there are no exceptions to be reported by IT auditors. Also, the fact that management has addressed the majority of the issues that were raised in the prior year's management report. And most importantly, they pointed out that there are no matters reported under lack of service delivery. to continue in terms of the Auditor General's opinion, we once again, for the third consecutive year, achieved an unqualified audit report, which points to our continued work around putting financial controls and strong financial management. There's also no emphasis of matter. There's an unqualified opinion expressed on performance information. You will recall, Honorable Chair, that last year the committee raised a number of issues around performance information, and we went back as management and really put our efforts together in making sure that we do not experience another opinion that relates to performance information, notwithstanding the fact that it was the first year where we were audited on on performance information. But this year we're proud to say that the Auditor General expressed an unqualified opinion. And further, in terms of the AG's opinion, there's no non-compliance with laws and regulation. There are no matters to report under supply chain or procurement related matters. And there are no significant deficiencies in internal control. If I may proceed to the area of service delivery achievements, i.e. performance against the set targets, we can note the following, that against the target of 80%, we achieved 93% client satisfaction levels. This is in contrast to 91% that we received in the previous financial year. We again experienced that 35% of the clients that we assisted indicated an increase in turnover, 37% against a target of 35%, up from 28% in the year 2009-2010, meaning the previous financial year. We again achieved 27% against a target of 25% of clients assisted, who indicated an increase in the number of people that they employ, up from 16% in 2009-10 financial year. And also, we're proud to mention that the payment assistance hotline, which assists small businesses who are not getting paid on time when they do work with government departments, that work is starting to reap positive benefits, in the sense that payments worth about 198 million at the end of the financial year was facilitated for small businesses, and that figure went up to 240 million by August 2011. We're also proud to announce that our Trade Point program, which is basically an export development program that we do in partnership with the United Nations arm on trade and development, where we offer linkages as part of our export development through guidance, logistics for our small businesses to 100 destinations across the world. We assisted 200 of these small businesses where they sold products such as medical equipment, agricultural equipment, and precious stones to destinations such as the UK, the US, Africa, and India. To proceed on service delivery achievements, specifically on CEDA technology program, against a target of 500, we assisted 1,479 clients. And on direct jobs created by STP, we fell short of the 1,000 that we had earmarked, and we achieved 893. Against a target of 10, we assisted 26 small businesses with technology transfer, and also through the conformity product testing and certification of products, we had set a target of 125 and we achieved 129. And we also continue to see an improvement in terms of how the public views us, where we track media reports. Against a target of 5-1, we achieved 194-4 ratio. And Chair, I think in terms of financial management, as I mentioned earlier on, in terms of approved funds that were allocated to us, we spent 98.7% of our funding. Just to continue on the key indicators, the chairman of the CEDA board mentioned earlier on that if you notice, there is a decline in numbers of people who work who walk through our doors. Rather, if you look at the trend line in the slide, you will see that the numbers are starting to decrease and stabilize. And one of the reasons could be that we do go out to clients, especially around community or collectively owned enterprises. But also, I think because our strategy is mainly focusing, if I may go to the next slide, it focuses on the impact that we derive from assisting our clients in terms of measuring client satisfaction, in terms of measuring increase in turnover, as well as looking at the percentage of clients that note an increase in the number of employees. If you look at the trend line, the black line, it's taking an upward turn, meaning that the strategy that the board has formulated, it is paying off. If I may proceed to the provincial analysis, those are the figures in terms of clients that we attract. I have to say that the conversion rate from people that walk through our doors to the people that end up being registered and the people that we end up doing projects with, there is a conversion rate of 42% to 47%. And this conversion rate is in line with our counterparts in India and Brazil, who also record about 40% conversion rate in terms of the people that walk through the doors and that they end up working with. If I may proceed to the statement of financial performance, I noted earlier on that we spent 98.7% of our allocated funds. You will note that the revenue that was allocated to us was in 2010-11 was 495.8. We spent 509, and which meant that we had then to use our surplus 13.5 in terms of our surplus. In terms of our budget going forward, I would like to draw the attention of the committee to the fact that the year-on-year increase from 11-12 to about financial year 14-15, the increase ranges from 2.5 to 6%. And if we take note of the fact that the bulk of our budget goes to salaries because we are a service organization, as well as to the network, given to rental payments, given our vast network, that the increase, it may not be commensurate with the strategy that we want to adopt of upscaling projects, especially for the 20% of the market, that is your small and medium-sized enterprises that can give us jobs and so on. So it's an area that the committee may have to note in terms of the area of small business development, because even issues such as salary increases, they are related to the inflation and even rental increases. So the budget allocation increase that we'll be getting in the years ahead might be problematic in terms of upscaling of programs. Just to focus on our development areas going forward, earlier on I alluded to the 20% market. Our strategy is to pay particular attention to the 20% of the market. And this is not to say that we are not going to focus on the 80%, but it's to say that we need to pay particular attention to the 20% market, which is going to give us sustainability, and it's also going to ensure that our contribution to economic growth is sustainable going forward. But I did mention the issue of sufficient funding going forward. The second and the third bullet point talks about the skills level and attracting good skills. This means that in-house, we're looking at our expertise and developing our people in line with the 20% market. I have to say that we have a very rigorous learning academy within CEDA that focuses on the frontline staff in developing their skills to service our clients. Hence, you note that there is an improvement indeed in terms of the impact that we are making to our small businesses. The other important point to note is the fact that we are also developing very stringent criteria in terms of our service providers that assist us. And in this, at this point, we are working with the Institute of Business Advisors, and we received funding from the Swedish government, where we are working with service providers to make sure that they are certified and to make sure that they've got certain criteria to meet before they can be used to assist our clients. This is to maintain service delivery levels, as well as to make sure that because they would be doing work on behalf of CEDA, that we maintain those levels of quality service delivery. The other point to note is that we believe that the SMME agenda at national and political level, it needs to be raised in terms of one of the key areas or markets, market segment rather, that we need to pay attention to as a key driver of economic growth, as well as a sector that will give us numbers in terms of job creation. In terms of our future plans, we do believe that we need to strengthen our existing partnerships and continue to create new partnerships. And in terms of this point, I have to say that we are working very closely with the DTI, with Mr. Sipho Zikode there and the Director General, especially in drawing the attention of the private sector to the issue of small business development. Because I think it's important to note that South Africa is one of the few countries where the small business sector is divorced from the private sector. And it is an area which we need to collectively work on, especially around procurement opportunities, especially around making sure that the conducive environment that is created by government in terms of institutional framework, in terms of policies, in terms of strategy and certain regulations, is augmented by the private sector providing these procurement opportunities and availing opportunities for small business development. The second point I'd like to note is the fact that the upscaling of the incubation program is one area that the minister continues to talk about, and the vision of the Department of Trade and Industry is that this area we need to draw in the private sector, and I think maybe the DDG can speak to this point where they've already spoken to certain private sector institutions who've already committed to giving us funds to make sure that we roll out incubation to this 250 incubators that the minister is talking about. But I have to say that will depend on the appetite of the private sector in partnering with government, because that's going to require a lot of funding if we are to talk about 250 incubators across the country. The other point to mention is that the board has directed us to focus on priority sectors, and these sectors are in line with government's industrial policy and the growth path. And these are services in terms of ICT and tourism, it's agriculture and agro-processing, and it's manufacturing sectors. Also, we are proactively identifying and working with small and medium enterprises. I spoke about this point earlier, but I think internally within CEDA, this is where we're looking at upscaling our offering in terms of export development, in terms of the 20%, as well as the Technology Transfer Fund, and this is an incentive that's given to small enterprises where they acquire technology to improve business processes within their enterprises. Incubation I spoke about. We're also looking at upscaling the product testing and certification that we do in conjunction with the South African Bureau of Standards. Also, we continue to do our work in terms of rural enterprise development, where we focus on large-scale projects and collectively owned enterprises across the country, as you will see in my next slide. These are just funds that we leverage from provincial partnerships. I'm proud to say that this is one area that demonstrates the fact that the network that has been created by SEDA is starting to make sure that there's an impact at a provincial and local government level, where specific municipalities and provinces rely heavily on SEDA in terms of making sure that they deliver on local enterprise development, particularly in respect of small business development, by using the SEDA network and by using the resources that SEDA has at the local and provincial level. The next slide, we're just demonstrating our co-location points in terms of where we're setting up access points for small businesses. You will note that in certain provinces, there are no co-location points, and we continue to work on that. This picture has changed, but this is at the end of the financial year. But it continues to change. In fact, to mention the fact that in the Western Cape, the committee members might have noticed that the Western Cape government is working with us in terms of taking over the Red Door program and making sure that SEDA doesn't close. Those offices are not closed, but rather SEDA takes over those access points where we can in terms of our budget. In the Gauteng province as well, we've started to work with the Joburg City, working with the Tshwane municipality, and you will see that the picture will have changed next year in terms of access points in those provinces. The Chief Operating Officer may elaborate later in terms of these co-location points in other provinces. In terms of SEDA technology program, those are our incubators throughout the provinces. There are three new incubators that we are setting up in various provinces, and we will report on that as we go along, but by the end of the financial year, we would have added three additional incubators in terms of our network. In terms of collectively owned enterprises, that's the spread of work that we're doing. We've just picked agencies that we're working with and provincial and local government structures that we're working with. You will notice that we do the work throughout the length and breadth of the country in terms of cooperatives and collectively owned enterprises. Thank you, Chair. I will end my presentation there and would welcome any questions or comments.
Thanks very much. Do you want to add something to this?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Two things. First, from the DTI side, just want to congratulate SEDA, you know, for achieving all the the performance in indicators. Although there have been problems here and there, you know, with the DTI and SEDA dealing with that kind of a market, there will always be problems, but. We are really trying to work very hard to satisfy our clients. Just to add on the presentation of the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Chairperson, as a result of the contract between the President and the Minister, one of the outputs of the Minister to the President would have been the review of all the programs and institutions that provide service to SMMEs. We have done that. We have we contracted a panel of experts to do that. And one of the most important output of that review is that, you know, like the chief executive is saying, elevating the SMME agenda to a bit of a higher level, national and political level. Some of the suggestions really were to establish a council of ministers, more especially the ministers that are responsible for economic development. And people were saying this council is supposed to be headed by, say, the deputy president. But these are the things that we are still dealing with and finalizing. And we hope to deliver the report to the president by end of this financial year. We had a big conference in Bloemfontein 2 weeks ago, where we invited all the experts and activists in the enterprise development to come and validate the work of this panel. And we got interesting results from that. On the incubation program, yes, the CEO is correct. We as a department, we are also assisting CEDA in terms of getting other stakeholders to participate in the incubation program. The target, as she said, is to have 250 incubators by 2015. Currently, we have about 31 we are managing under STP. We are engaging with multilateral organizations like the United Nations Development Program, who are willing, in fact, we have signed a contract with them. They will be also assisting us to develop the strategy to even implement the incubation program by supporting some of the incubators here in South Africa. We are talking to a big business like Sasol and Anglo-American through the Anglo-Zimela program, who are also willing to put money on the table to support incubation program and other business chambers like BUSA. Already through that effort, which started, I would say, 3 months ago, we have managed to get about 9 incubation proposals for new incubators all over the country that will be implementing starting in the very same financial year. So thanks very much, the chairperson. I thought I would have to add on those 2 areas.
Thank you, honourable members. The floor is yours now for questions. Abrams, Abraham, Dikhare,
thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Okay. Now you can continue.
Thank you. On the slide 11, I'd just like to know why you're counting in the Northern Cape the clients working so long.
Honourable Dikhale.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation and also congratulate the department for unqualified audit opinion on annual financial statement. And also to complain about my province, because if I... You know, if I check on this report from the core location points, going to the CEDA technology program, the CPP, Limpopo is not doing so well. And now I'm worried because on the other slide number 19, from the other provinces, CEDA is like working with the department. But when they go to Limpopo, they prefer to work with the municipalities, and their only focus is in Vembe and Mupani and Greater Zanin. I don't know what is wrong with this, or maybe there's nobody in the other municipalities, I don't know, but I think SIDA must also make us proud, we want to be proud, and our people doesn't know SIDA. I also want to know how do they conduct their awareness program, whether they are doing it with the urban areas or the rural areas, because I'm staying in the rural areas and I never had maybe the people from our tribal authorities saying SIDA is coming to make an awareness, we're going to SIDA, but I only hear about heading industry going to the people. So I'm worried, Mama. I also want to be proud about SIDA. So, well, I wish she knew nothing so that I can express myself. Can I? Thank you very much. Yeah. Oh, I'm the one who is unfortunate. Because I cannot even talk.
Just on that point, is that the Northern Sotho they went to get the dialect in France?
Are you a member of that committee? If maybe he's a member of the committee, then he has the answer. No, ke a belaela mama gore mola dirue e reng a ba letsebe ga sekhukhune a ba letsebe ebile a lebolele ka bona ka mo lebolela ka bozaneni le bo mopane o kare focus ya lenane oba nkhutwaneng gona mola mkhutwaneng ya mopane mola ke le putšhaka kore ka gore Limpopo ela e nabile le tlo dira bjang gore le rona re kgone go e gantšha ka SIDA. Kaur rentse le gare dipresenta mo ke kolelentse le re I am proud and I'm proud ke le kere na re tloe kgantšhaneng ka SIDA le batho ba le ba modimo ba go ba o itshokolela bale motho mongwe ge bane le fitheletse dikhutho tse ke bolelang ka tsona gona gora gore le lebetse go ngwala ka bona ka mo e le prepare report ya lena ele kebe ke ntse kgopela go tseba gorena ruri batho ba le ba o sokola bale ke gale kudu ba sokola ma re ka diang mara gore ba thuse ke leo. Thank you very much.
She was actually saying what she said earlier on Honorable Adams, Van Lingen and Abraham Sinclair. What she said earlier on in English. So she was not talking something different.
Yeah. Thank you. You see, that's why I won't join the DA, because the DA says all of us must now go and learn a different language, you know. In the report, the annual report, Chairperson, 75, page 75. I see that in the statement there of the financial performance, that there was indeed an increase in the deficit from 36 million to 30 million, but the deficit is still there. Now, what was the reason for that deficit? Then, Chair, on page 93, as the Deputy Director General indicated, you know, there's a lot of donor funding out there, and one must naturally engage those agencies to get into agreements with them. But of concern to me for this financial year, there's quite a drop of about 40 million rand in the external earnings. Why is that, given the fact that there's so much potential out there, you know, various mining houses in terms of the corporate social investment, got all these programs, donor funding from Europe and so on and so forth. Then, Chair, on page 104, I see there was a number of board members that resigned or that wasn't reappointed or so on and so forth. But it seems to me, on average, if I'm right, that a board member get about, it's difficult to say because the CEO's remuneration is also in there. But there's quite a difference between some of the board members. Some get quite substantial amounts, others get substantially less and so on. Maybe we can get an explanation for that. And the chair on page 113 notes, it's difficult to speak about these finances, but the staff is also unfortunately like members of parliament, you know, they publish these things and you can engage them and so on. But the one thing that I've picked up there from 2010 to 2011, there was quite an increase in the remuneration of the senior staff. For instance, if you just take, and I'm sorry that I now go into the detail, Mrs. Wogendoren, but that is it's published here. I mean, in 2010, your package was about 913, and now in this financial year, it's 1.2. Now, I'm not a part of a union, but if I was part of a union, I would toy very actively for that 20% plus increase, you know. Maybe you can, the CEO can give us an explanation in terms of performance bonusing and so on. Yeah, then, Chair, the second class issue is the issue about the cooperatives. I see there's a lot of reference also in the Northern Cape. Now, last week when the Department of Trade and Industry was with us, the DG indicated that there might be a rethink about the cooperatives. Now, you know the unfortunately damning story about the cooperatives, which is only less than 10% active and so on. Personally, I think we must have a different approach with cooperatives. And if we can get guidance, because you deal with clients that in many instances present their businesses as cooperatives, what is your feeling, Chairperson and CEO, about the whole notion of cooperatives? Because many people claim they're instrumental in the small and medium sector. But if we look at the statistics, the statistics are telling us of a different story. And then the last issue, Chair, is once again from Northern Cape perspective. You know, it's fine to have five offices in the Northern Cape. And I see you've got a number of other agreements with other agencies and so on. So maybe you can just indicate, I think it was about 14. The previous slide, nine. Who are those institutions? Because it's, you know, the Northern Cape has got its own dynamics and difficulties and so on. But the one thing that I always miss is the integration of local economic activities with local government. You know, many of these municipalities got LED offices and so on that works with various institutions to get a greater framework. So what is CEDA doing in terms of engaging local authorities regarding the LEDs? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Adams. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think that's why the Honourable Member that has just spoke before me, his President, is now approaching the DA for membership, because it seems to me they don't read in COPE and they don't listen. As the CEO was explaining the deficit and gave us the she was also explaining us what was his last point on the. But Chair, allow me to thank CEDA for, and the CEO, you know, I've said it yesterday that in the committee that where a woman touch, you make, it's definitely it's turning to platinum, gold, and zirconia and all that. So congratulations to the CEO. I think the chairman of the board and DTI, they must be envy. But brothers, we must now get to the point that we can't do anything and everything. We have got fierce competition. CEDA must make a car sticker to say that never mind the white rhino, save the men from extinction. But CEO, no, thank you. It's a pleasure to come back and to get you here, and 3 years in a row you've appeared before the committee, and there's improvement every time. So it really is for you and the team, from our side, it is really a great honor to have you in front of us. I don't even know why all the questions were asked, because it was clear as daylight that they are doing a good job, even in provinces. even in provinces, although Limpopo does not understand the dialect between Sepedi and Northern Sotho, but you are doing a very good job. And Limpopo also had the problem of the, you can't enter Limpopo without first asking Malema, but you are doing that entry and working and helping. So thank you very much. You know, I must really, Chair, extend my appreciation to also Mr. Slabbert and his team, because now that we are busy with the cooperatives in the Western Cape, the fishing cooperatives. Thank you, CEO, and Mr. Slabbert and his team for that. Chair, I just want to find out from the CEO, and I know it's not a part of the program that you have presented to us, but how do you see yourself or align yourself with what the Minister of Economic Development was announcing on Monday in terms of local procurement? How do you strengthen that, and how do you go out with specifically with cooperatives and align yourself in terms of helping small, medium enterprises and PE components in aligning themselves with that local procurement? You know, specifically here in the Western Cape, I know you've got the battle of not the municipality not trying to work together and the province. As you have said that Red Door has been closed, but also the provincial government doesn't want CEDA to take over the office space of Red Door. There is that dynamic that is happening here. So, and you know, the point is there is the one financial institution that's now been established by the Western Cape government. So it's a massive challenge, but people are suffering in the Western Cape. You know, our clothing industry, textile industry are suffering. Now we've got this great experienced people who has been machinists all the years, and they can make a suit, they can make a shirt, they can make anything, even pantyhose they can make and all that. Now, for these people to get into the market of being self-employed and your incubator scheme, do you think your incubator scheme can carry these people as well in the clothing industry? They call themselves CMTs, cut, make and trim people. If you can, I'll really appreciate that, and then I'll have you and Mr. Slabbert and the team full-time in Cape Town assisting us in establishing this. But once again, Chair, it is really a cherry on the cake. I think if they carry on like this, we will take them either to correctional services. Home Affairs has been sorted out now, either correctional services or on some other, what other department are there, Honorable Collingham, to... No, not to the DA, but we'll get them to...
There's enough women in the DA.
To pull.
We can do our thing.
Yeah, but these women are thinking wrongly in the DA. They must learn. They must learn from the CEO how to think. But thank you very much, Chair.
Honourable Nguni.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Ah, the CEO is still consulting, Chair. Chairperson, they say don't praise the fish for swimming. But the oral Steve Church, the late Steve Church, used to say that. I think the CEDA gets the vibe. Chair, in short, I'd like to know about your failures and your problems. It's nice that you're telling all your successes in the report and also in the annual report. But I was looking for failures in the report. I don't see failures now. So are they hidden somewhere? Can you just tell us what are your challenges, your main challenges? Perhaps one or two problems that you have. The DDG said there have been problems here and there, but they are successful. Can you perhaps throw more light on those problems that you're experiencing? Secondly, you mentioned that as the time goes on, according to the MTF, you'll experience problems with funding. Now, my question is, if you foresee that this problem is coming, what is your strategy to avert that problem, you know, the uptake of more programs? And you intend to have about 250 incubators, you said 2015, if I'm not mistaken. You've got 31 at the moment. And the question is, the more incubators you have, the more money you're going to spend. Now the question is, as incubators, in my view, is that you incubate a project or a business, but within a certain time, you expect that business to stand on its own. Then what's the period it takes to incubate one business and to let to move away from it so that it stands on its own? What's the time period from incubation and to know, perhaps, you know, it's to be a success story? And the more you take in, the more you spend, but the rate at which you, should I say, you walk away from business, you know, like it's a standalone business, it doesn't need any more incubation, the time period, and then, what should I say, no, use of the production line, not the production,
yeah,
objective, if you get the, if you get my equation. And then the last one, Chairperson, is the targets. You overshoot your targets, you know, by 10%, by 7%, and so forth, so forth. Is your estimation your targets correct, or do you underestimate your targets so that you can overshoot your forecast? Is it correct, or perhaps it's a lack in your estimation? And the last, Chairperson, I think it's a relief, you know, to know that that people who are looking at the small business or at the SMEs, because we know that the big business actually doesn't create much jobs. It is the small businesses that are taking more or giving more people employment in most developed countries. So I just want to know that how do you work with the IDC? Does this, I think it's a job fund, if I'm not mistaken, or there's an amount of about, if not 80 billion, Chairperson, if I'm not mistaken, that has been given to IDC. It's going to be managed by DVSA. How do you fit in that fund? Thanks, Chair.
No, another question. Hmm?
Except.
I saw you looking at me. I thought it was.
And you
thought
it was just admiration?
Yes. No, you look at me with those afternoon eyes. Okay, you'll come the Honorable Van Lingen. Honorable Van Lingen, and then the Honorable Dikhari.
Thank you, Chairperson. I mean, three. Thank you very much. Not with the fact that I eventually got noticed, but with the report in front of us. Well done. It's good, and I'm happy. I've got a couple of questions. I would like to refer my colleague to slide number 11, madam, where you can see that Limpopo has got the most working clients working with. It says there 12,577. So I actually want to congratulate the department for working with so many clients in Limpopo. And then you say that the SMEs are divorced from the private sector. Why? Then I want to know whether you, on slide 16, you say you're working with Johannesburg and Pretoria, are you working with the city of Cape Town too? And Durban, all the big metros. And I do get the impression that the Northwest is in the entire system is a little bit neglected. The Northwest. And then looking at your last slide, or last two slides, it's clear that you're working with municipalities, district or local municipalities. What concerns me is there's a large number of development agencies, and I yet have to find a successful development agency. So I'd like to know whether you are working with successful development agencies and whether they are actually delivering for you, because then maybe I must change my mind about them. But thank you very much. That's all, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to correct something. Normally when we go to Limpopo, I never saw Honorable Chairperson asking a permission to you to go to Limpopo, but now he's telling us another story. Fortunately enough, I'm sitting in a coinage committee. I should have seen him asking up a permission. And the other thing, I just want to talk about page 48. If Akira is having offices in all the province of Limpopo, in all the municipalities, I just want to know from them, how do they do their monitoring? Because it's like the ones who are situated in Venda and Mopani are working so well. That is why on page 6, slide number 11, Limpopo is like, it seems like it's doing so well, but it's only on another corner, on the Busandino. It's not in all our province. I think you've helped it. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for those questions and honorable funding, and I see you did not confine yourself to the Eastern Cape this time around. Now that you are the leader, now you concentrate on all provinces, Limpopo, Gauteng, Northwest. You really act like a leader now. Honorable funding is now the leader of the opposition in the NCOP. We're supposed to acknowledge that we're privileged to have you in this committee. Thank you. You know, on page 4, the issue about the 200 small incubators, maybe you can supply where, you know, our provincial interests, where these you want them to be. I know that of the 200, maybe 150 will be in KwaZulu-Natal. But just that breakdown. Just as a comment, it's for the first time, Honorable Sinclair, that on page 6, I see the Northern Cape being above Gauteng. The first time. So I think we'd need to come and see that for doing an excellent job on that. The question I have about this Swedish funding, you know, I know this song that says nothing for Mahala. There are these funding, but what is it in for the Swiss? If, you know, whether it's administrative or political, I'm not sure. But just to get that, this question was asked by Honorable Adams about the 75% by local. I just wanted to check if you did bargain and see that you must have a certain percentage for SMEs. Because I think you should be using your tools. That now that you have said 75% local, then out of that 75%, maybe you say 35%. SMEs. I think you should take that forward if you haven't done that. On page 9, on slide 16, you show KwaZulu-Natal as spending what they don't have. You commit 1.3 and they spend 1.5. How do you do that? The other issue is, this one has been raised about your challenges, serious challenges. One of them, which I'll mention, is your location of your offices, of CEDA offices. You know, you look at KwaZulu-Natal on page 47, your CEDA office is in Richards Bay. I stay in Gingidlovu, my constituency is far away somewhere there, and there's a shower, there's Ntambanana. And if people are to go to the CEDA office, sometimes people have to connect transport 3 times. you know, going to the actual office. So the issue about your relationship with local municipalities, all of them as a principal would assist as a baseline, that all of them, so that people don't leave Kingidlovu and drive 60 kilometers to your SIDA offices in Richards Bay. This one, I'm sure the DTI will respond. I always raise this issue about the uniformity of the appointment of board members, be it in numbers, be it in authority, be it in the structure. You know, we shouldn't find there's a board member there, or there's this structure that has capacity to do this. In this agency, the structure is different, it doesn't have capacity. I'm sure the DTI needs to do something or study on this issue. Because I know one agent of DTI where one person said, the department expects me to do some full-time job on a part-time, while I'm part-time. You know, we need to be honest and deal with this issue. So if you have to deliver some services and some people have got to take decisions, and you need to have a proper structure that will deal with that. CEO Chairperson, you can respond.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for all the accolades. But indeed, the fish can't be praised for swimming. The day we walk, I'm sure our praises will be deserved by CEDA. But I think just to tackle the matter of the difference in the figures of board members, some have served a full term, others came in late in the stream. That's why we find the big differences there. The CEO will handle the matter of the salaries. I think it will be important for us to, the CEO will add to this and the COO, but cooperatives have a very important approach in the transformation of the economy, I think, the way we see it, in that the mistakes that we've made in the past have actually become a lesson to all of us, and the lessons we've learned is that we need to proactively assist these people in pulling them into sectors that work and assist in establishing these cooperatives where possible, but also bring the element of technical support through incubation linked to these the cooperatives, and linking back to the issue of procurement, which is about the access to markets. Because as we all know, there's 10 set aside that we have not necessarily taken advantage of their existence, and there's now an addition by the accord that was signed 2 days ago, which is promoting 75% of local content, and I think that space is a space that requires quick thinking and quick coordination and working with the DDG and the DG as CEDA to ensure that we take advantage of that situation. We don't believe that the co-ops are a serious potential failure, but we see greater opportunities in their existence. And we know that some of the issues involved become access to finance. And I think most of the finance institutions, and particularly the state-owned financial agencies, we'll find it easy to channel funds where there's proper coordination, where there's potential greater potential for success and sustainability. And we believe that the cooperatives need to exist in that space where we think and coordinate fairly quickly. I'm not sure the CEO would tell us, or actually the DTI, the DDG is there, will tell us as to what is the catch with the Swedish. We were very much happy to receive the funds and we've used them appropriately. The politics, they'll be able to deal with those checks. Lastly, the CEO will deal with the rest, but just to tackle the issue of the location of CEDA. we are indeed being pulled in many directions, and we have the desire to be everywhere people could access us. We know the importance of SIDA in the so-called second economy, and we desire to be at whatever point where people would assist us, would contact us. We have offices. We can no longer increase our network. We believe that because of limited funds, we need to change the approach. We have co-locations. We have a mobile services that serve as an outreach to these communities. It is our desire to be everywhere, Chair, and it is true, and I think the suggestion you're making is something that we're really caring, that municipalities should open doors for small business. LED, they want to kill this idea of people working in silos, and I think people simply want to own a whole lot of things and take credit for when they work, but I think we tend to see less achievement because there is no coordination. What we've emphasized, what the DG and the DDG and the rest of the TTI have agreed on, is that we need to increase the level of coordination among small enterprise development agencies and initiatives that exist across the country. And we have made a suggestion that one of the things that we should be able to achieve as a country is national coordination that has joint planning that synchronizes our plans and activities, and ultimately come to a point where we do joint reporting so that you can read a very full report about the impact that government is doing on the ground. For that, I'll leave to the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. If I may just add to what the chairman is saying regarding the location points, we do indeed desire to be everywhere, but we've got limitations in terms of budget. And also, our relationship with municipalities, it also depends on the appetite of municipalities and the willingness to work with us, especially in terms of enterprise development. And if it's not one of their immediate priorities, then it reflects on whether then they would be willing to do partnerships with us. But in terms of the performance agreements of branch managers and provincial managers, the issues of co-locations and partnerships is one of the key performance areas. If I may be specific about Limpopo, Honorable Dikgale, fortunately, the Chief Operating Officer only started as Chief Operating Officer a couple of months ago. He was the Provincial Manager in Limpopo. So I will leave the questions for him to respond to. But I have to say that Limpopo, though, is one of the performing provinces, and hence the decision to promote Mr. Kunis Labat to be the Chief Operating Officer with the support of the board. And I think it really relates to the issues I was mentioning earlier on, that the expansion in terms of co-location point and working with municipalities is a factor of budgets. And also, because the branches were established a couple of years ago, we do not expand in terms of establishing branches. We expand in terms of co-location points. And perhaps what we can request, I think, from the committee is assistance from the members in terms of their own areas or the provinces where they come from, to say to us that here are the leads. We've already done some work in terms of these municipalities. Here is a contact person for establishing a co-location point. I think that's the request we need to make. But in terms of our own strategy, that's what we're driving, but we need assistance from the committee members. In terms of the board, the fees of board members, and I think Umar from the DTI can also assist here, the difference in fees, it also depends on the term that the board members have served, because it's staggered. You find that others, their term of office, it ends this year, and then the others are starting. And also it depends whether you are a chair of a committee or you are an ordinary board member. So that's the difference in fees.
And also it depends on attendance, because CEDA is a Schedule 3A entity. We do not have what we call it. We don't have a flat rate. It's based on attendance. I forget the name that is used for
fees.
We do not have a retainer. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. We do not have a retainer, so it's purely based on attendance. So if you have not attended, then you do not earn any fees. The increase in terms of the CFO's salary, it also relates to whether a person has finished a full term, because your bonus is linked to whether you've finished a whole year. So it's prorated. And the year before this, the CFO did not do the entire financial year, so there would be a difference. Also, there were some adjustments in terms of salaries of executives, where there was a differentiator between whether you're an HR executive and CFO in terms of critical and scarce skills, compared to, for example, an executive who's in corporate services. So there were adjustments to make sure that it really relates to the market and the issue of critical and scarce skills. The issue of cooperatives, the chairman touched on this. There is a new strategy that the department is asking us to look at in relation to cooperatives, especially around the area of secondary cooperatives, which has been found to be working. We are also, under the Director General, also looking at the whole incentives that are being that are being given by the department in relation to the work that we're doing. So there is something to look at in terms of the entire cooperatives area that we are looking at as a department. Northern Cape, I would request the Chief Operating Officer later on to respond to this as to who are these institutions, but where we are not able to give full information, we can always send the information back to the committees, to the specifics from the provincial manager. In terms of engaging local authorities, is something that we can explore. However, let me say that the strategy of CEDA is to work with institutions that have got a similar mandate. Say, for example, because municipalities have got local economic development, it therefore means that their work relates to us. If, for example, you look in Limpopo, for example, LIPSA is an agency that deals with development, then we'd have a partnership with that agency. We will explore whether local authorities, they have programs that are meant for enterprise development, and we can always take it from there. In terms of the Western Cape, we would be very, very delighted to work with you in terms of seeing how we can take forward the rollout of the incubation. I have to say, I did mention earlier on that there would be three incubators that we are establishing in this current financial year. One of those incubators is in the Western Cape. And I think we would be glad to just, it's in Atlantis, we would be glad to engage you on our strategy, even in taking over some of the Red Door offices, and just looking at how we could work in terms of the Western Cape strategy. As I said earlier, we would welcome assistance from the committee members in terms of their provinces and how we can roll out enterprise development. There was a question on what are the problem areas. We seem only to be talking about things that we've done well. I'd like to go back to the slide where we said development areas. That slide is meant to say these are the challenges, or we always tend to run away from the word that say problems, because it looks like you're unable to come up with any strategies or interventions to correct the challenges. We call them development areas. These are areas where we believe we need to focus our attention. I mentioned the issue of funding. I mentioned the issue of skills development. I mentioned the issue of stringent criteria for service providers. I also mentioned the issue of elevating SMME development in the country and nationally as an intervention that would assist us in terms of economic growth. The issue of the strategy for funding and the uptake, I did mention that, for example, the rollout of the incubators, government, particularly CTI, is engaging private sector. There are private sector institutions, for example, that have pledged to the tune of $250 million already for the rollout of the incubation. So those are the strategies, because we do realize that the allocation for from the fiscals is not as limited, and therefore we need to look at other areas where we can get additional funding. The question of whether the targets are correct, we work with a very rigorous board, I have to say, and the issue of targets is something that they always look at. If you look at STP, for example, in the current financial year, you will notice that the targets have changed because the board felt that the targets were a bit on the low side. And the reason for that is that ISTIDA technology program was initially a program of the Department of Trade and Industry, which we adopted later on, and we had to understand the workings of the program, the setting up of targets, and it's something that we continue to improve on. However, the targets in terms of ISTIDA, you will note that the targets are not out. These are they are not completely out in terms of the target and the achievement. And where the target is low, especially from the point of view of the board, then the board does direct us to amend the target as appropriate. In terms of the jobs fund, we are looking at the jobs fund, particularly in the rollout of the incubation. I did mention that the private sector is pledging some funds for the rollout of the incubation, and in most instances, they are asking government to match the funding, and DTI is using the jobs fund to match that pledge from the private sector. Why are small businesses divorced from the private sector? The reasons are historical. We do know that the issue of enterprise development, because we had a closed economy in the past, there wasn't a lot of enterprising. We're not an enterprising nation. There is a lot to be done about raising the levels of entrepreneurship in the country. It's something that needs to be done consistently. We need to look at our education system. We need to look at the skills levels of people who are running enterprises. We need to continue to train our people, but the reasons are historical, as I mentioned earlier on. Are we working with the city of Cape Town and Durban? Yes, we are working with Durban, particularly the Ekwini municipality. There's lots of projects that we are doing with them. We've got incubators. We've got a project on collectively owned enterprises. There are enterprise development activities that we fund together. In fact, I have to say that that's one of the municipalities that is that has a lot of appetite for enterprise development. When it comes to City of Cape Town, now that the Western Cape government is moving away from enterprise development, as I said, we're looking at various strategies of working with them, and we are glad to take over the space of enterprise development. That's our mandate. We are not yet working with the City of Cape Town, but through the taking of over of the Red Door project, we'll be looking at issues such as those. But Honorable Adams will be working with us to take forward the strategy within the Western Cape.
Honorable Adams, can you start working now?
Okay, no, I want to say no, we will work, but we need more than prayer and a wing.
Okay.
Working with the city of Cape Town.
We realize that. We realize that. The issue of development agencies, whether they are delivering or not, I have to say that I really do not have a direct answer for that. Where we've seen a lot of results is when we're working with municipalities, but I do not want to give information that is incorrect here. We haven't looked specifically maybe at comparing them with municipalities, but I do know that Where we do see a lot of mileage is when we work with municipalities in terms of their EBITDA programs. The chairman spoke about the Swedish funding. I have to say that as an agency of government, we, Honorable Chair, we engage the donors through the department, whether it's in government strategy to work with a specific country. So all the issues that are political and other things, they would have been sorted out by the department. And what remains with us is the program work, which we deliver in terms of what the agency wants to achieve. Fortunately, I have to say that the DTI does not dictate in terms of the program. They will tell us that, give us a proposal in terms of an area. So the area of developing service providers, we saw that it's an area that we need to develop going forward. So that's the area which we propose. But really, the work, the negotiations around the funding and the political issues, that we normally leave to the department to sort out. There was a question about the 1.3 and the 1.5 in cases. And what normally happens, Honorable Chair, is that in a province or in municipalities, we pledge and say we'll give you 1 million, but as the year progresses, then they realize that actually we have an additional 500 that we will give to you. Then we always welcome that. So that's why there's a difference in the committed funds and the funds that we ended up getting in KwaZulu-Natal. Chair, I think I've covered all the questions. I don't know if there's something that I've left out. Let me hand over to the Chief Operating Officer to respond on the institutions in the Northern Cape, as well as the goings on in Limpopo.
Thank you, CEO. Thanks, Chairperson. The institutions that we are working on within the Northern Cape, I think that information can be supplied to the members. I don't have the names of the institutions at the moment, but we are working in most areas that we are working with. We are working with the LED departments and the municipalities. The rest of the institutions, I think that information can be given. As far as Limpopo is concerned, I think Honourable Member needs to understand that we have LIPSA in the province, but Honourable Member will also understand that we have in Blouberg a huge contingency of activities that are happening. I'll take, for example, the Honourable Member's area or constituency, where we helped with the cooperative there. Not only that, but we also have a mobile unit that is stationed in the whole of the Blouberg area, and also the whole going down to Vivo, all those areas. That's the area that we have the mobile unit. The mobile unit is stationed for a month in one locality. Then it moves, and what we do is we have loud hailing in the area, where we will conscientize the community members that the mobile unit is in the area, people can come for services, and they can obtain CEDA services and information and so on. And also when you look at Skukune, the Skukune area, we also have a mobile unit in Skukune area that is also moving around. And also the other area within the Skukune area is, I think that there's a bit of misalignment of information, because we moved our office from Krobelsdal to Jane First. And I think that's where people are sometimes a bit confused, that they don't know where the offices moved to. Although we have indicated about 6 months before we moved that we will be moving offices. So that is maybe one of the biggest challenges. But we are in an area that is highly, highly accessible, and there's a lot of activity happening. Notwithstanding the fact that we've had in Limpopo a number of staff turnovers, and that has put a challenge on us. But the co-location that we have with the various municipalities, if you look, for example, the Skukune District Municipality, where we are working closely not just with the district municipality, but with the local municipality, and also the co-locations that we have. Now, some of the co-locations, and one can understand that in most areas where the municipality is not very stable, you would find that
the mayor does not want to, or the municipal manager does not sign off on the co-location. So then it becomes a verbal co-location agreement and nothing signed. But there's a lot of activity happening. And as the CEO indicated, that Limpopo is one of the highest performing provinces. Not just only in Mopani and in Mbembe, but if you look, you go back to Waterberg, there's a lot of activity happening in Waterberg, including with the co-locations that we have with the municipalities and Capricorn as well. I don't know if I've answered the honourable member's questions completely.
I'm sure the honourable member is still consulting. Other.
Sorry, Mr. Chairperson, I'm not consulting. I am saying it has been omitted in this report because they're only reporting about Mopani and whatever. And the other thing is that they have the locations, but are they monitoring whether those people are working? Like the Lipsa that we're talking about, people are complaining about a certain member in the Lipsa office who is not possessing their papers. I just want to know whether is there really enough monitoring.
Honourable Member, yes, there is a lot of monitoring, and when we pick up these challenges, we normally, because we have a very close relationship, not just with Lipsa, but with the department as well. So we bring these challenges and issues to the department and to Lipsa as well. So those issues are being taken care of. But I can promise you that there's a whole lot of activities happening in Limpopo. And as we go, you'll realize that in February this year, we've launched a cooperative in Limpopo that is doing very, very well. Pepper Dew Cooperative, and also we are busy with the revival of the tea estate. We are busy with the cooperatives around red meat in the Giani, the Gaza Strip in Giani. So there's a lot of activities happening in the province. Yes, Honourable Bema, they call it, it's an area between Giani and Mbembe. They call it the Gaza cattle strip.
That's southern Soto, you see.
Pressing the wrong button. Honorable Chair, there was a question about the period it takes to incubate. Normally the period is anything between 3 to 5 years. It depends on the sector. And then there was a question on the deficit, and I will hand over to the CFO to respond to that, the differences in the years in terms of the deficit.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Chair and Members. With reference to the question raised on page 75 of the annual report, the deficit last year was 36 million rand. This year it actually reduced to 13.5 million rand. And maybe a better explanation, I'll try to explain it by looking at page 77 of the report. Actually, we had a surplus, retained surplus, coming from the year 8-9 to the value of 77 million rand, added to the previous surplus of 30 million rand that gave us a balance at 31 March of 108 million rand. Therefore, last year we utilized 36.6 million of that surplus, and this year we've utilized 13.5 million rand. And also maybe just to show that it was planned and that it was spent as planned, I would like to refer you to note 23 on page 116, where one could see that we did budget for a deficit this year in utilizing our surpluses accumulated in previous years. And as the CEO reported, we spent the bulk of our budget with the underspending within the 5% at 1.87%. So that's the response to the deficit. And then also maybe just in terms of the drop of external earnings on page 93, a question was raised, why did the external earnings drop from 61 to 23? The reason for that is the completion of the finished donor funding project. And I think the Chair also touched on a very critical point to say at which cost. Mm-hmm. Because we did that specific donor project focused on monitoring evaluation system, which also enabled CEDA to actually improve our performance information on which we got an unqualified audit report, which actually put the process in motion. So usually, Chair, I think you're very accurate to say that.
we would not like donor funding to support operational activities, but rather project-related. And I think that also relates to what the CEO said in terms of the Swedish funding. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. In my response, I also gave my colleague Marx to further comment on the board's issue. But Chair, I just want to touch on the question by Honourable Adams on the localization and the SME alignment, whether we will be exploiting those opportunities that will come as a result of the localization from the 7th of December, localization of government procurement. I think, Chair, with the enhancement of the incubation program, it will also enhance the so-called supplier development program, more especially targeting those sectors that will be designated by the Minister of Trade and Industry for localization of procurement. And we will be working closely with organizations like FIDA, you know, to structure this supplier development, because with this localization, because it's going to be now a law, we will want to avoid the government now having a big burden in terms of procuring the products that do not match the standard. So it is very important that we develop our suppliers to match the standards that will be required in terms of supplying quality products. So it's another challenge that we are facing at the moment, but with institutions like FIDA, we will deal with that problem. And again, we hope, because this localization also, as part of that, we, as government, will be procuring only from the suppliers who comply with the BEE legislation in terms of the codes and the act. As you know, with the amendment of the regulation and the PPPFA Act, we are not going to now look at, when we procure goods as government, look only on the so-called RDP goals. But for those preferential points, we will have to comply with the BEE Act, not necessarily the so-called RPP goals. So we hope with that compliance, more SMEs will benefit from localization. When it comes to co-ops, as we reported last week at this committee, Chair, really I think Honorable Sinclair is 100% right. You know, the cemetery is full now in terms of dead co-ops. You know, they register, but with the review of the legislation, really, the legislation will enable us to establish more institutional framework to support co-ops. I'm talking now about the proposed co-ops agency, which will be dealing with the financial and non-financial support for co-ops, and also the co-ops academy. Because again, you know, there has been this massive promotion of co-ops in South Africa, and our poor people, they just form co-ops, but they don't understand really the principle of cooperating. And so you need an academy that will be training people on the really principles of cooperating and forming co-ops. At the moment, people hear about the co-ops incentive scheme. It's a very easy to access a scheme. People, five people, even a family of five, they register a co-op, and then they apply for a scheme and they get money. And that money, you know, that doesn't help develop them, because the intention and the principles are not clearly understood. And then there will be a tribunal, because again, currently with the co-ops, they apply for funding, they get it, but then after getting the money, then there is an infighting. You know, the smarter people within the co-op, they charge all the money, or they buy tractors and all everything. You find that the tractor now is in the garage of a smarter guy in the, in the court. So all these institutional frameworks will be dealing with the problems we hold. On the Swedish interest, Chair, I think you, Chair, and the rest of your honourable colleagues will know better that with the political cooperation between Sweden with the liberation liberation movement and after 94, with close cooperation with Sweden and South African government. As a result of that, there was a binational commission that was established, and that is chaired by the Deputy President and the Deputy Prime Minister of Sweden. Under that agreement, there are a lot of cooperation that were established, and one of the category is the SME development and industrial support. So all these arrangements between SEDA and this Swedish organization fall under that binational commission arrangement. Thanks very much, Mark. I don't know whether I want to comment on the board.
Thanks, Chair and members. With regard to the issue of boards, Chairperson, there is uniformity within the DTI. If I may just outline a few things. What the Minister has put in place now has been a sort of a process of institutionalizing how we appoint the boards, one being to look at what the legislation requires. Where it allows for a full-time member, we make provision to have full-time members. Where the Act doesn't allow a full-time, unfortunately, we don't put full-time members. Then the other improvements in the process has been that we ensure that whoever is recommended for board appointment undergoes a process of security checks, qualification verifications, and also property check before the minister can recommend to cabinet. And there are instances where the Act clearly states that the president appoints. But what the minister does is to take the recommendation to cabinet for endorsement. And even where the minister has powers to appoint, he has taken a stance that he wants his cabinet colleagues to support it. He asks for concurrence. He doesn't appoint alone. And we also set up panels to interview. We don't just look at the CV after we call for nominations. We read your CV. We invite you to come and have a session with you to say, what value will you add if we were to put you on this board? And you find that there are interesting things. A person might be a senior counsel, and when you ask those simpler questions of compliance to say, as a member of the accounting authority which will guide the executive management, how will we ensure that this institution complies? You find that they battle. And we take them off the list to say, we can see you are better qualified, but you will not help in terms of leading this institution. So these are the improvements that we have put in place in terms of that process. So with regard to the issues of gender, race, and geographic spread, we take that into account. But the challenge is that you find that this board has been existing and the gender issues upon appointment maybe 2 years ago were not considered. That's where you sit with a challenge to say, but how do we correct this? But with the new board, we look at the board profile and ensure that we look at all those areas. And where we battle to get people in terms of geographic spread, you will remember, Honorable Chair, that this year around July, we did write to your office to request for nominations in terms of those agencies where the Act provides for geographic spread. There are those where you find that the legislation is silent in terms of geographic spread. It's a problem. We've raised it with those boards to say we need to try by all means, even if the legislation is silent, let's try and bring representativity within that board. We can't only have people who are residing in Gauteng because the Act is silent. We are trying those kind of things to bring in people from provinces. We are looking at it from that point of view and race and gender issues. Thank you.
Before you chair, let me give Honorable Abrams.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to comment on the academy. I love it. But who is going to qualify and who's going to go through this academy? Because in the local municipality, you find that the municipalities use the LEDs to go out into the communities, call for workshops, and then they invite the community to come. and messes and messes and messes come. And that's where you find people going home very excited. And they start forming five people, families, and everybody there. Because they come and they have workshops, but everybody in the community can't qualify. They should find a way of working with the unemployed and finding a way that we can actually skill these people before they actually go. Because that's why it flops, it doesn't work, because everybody that's unemployed thinks, huh, this is an opportunity. Let me start some farming, and they don't even have a clue of what to do. We've had, in my community, we've had people wanting to start projects that they've never heard of. It wouldn't even materialize in the area. But then they promise, we'll take you to wherever, and we'll teach you, and so on, and that's the end of it, because it's part of the budget of the municipality to hold that workshop. Thank you.
Hello, Sinclair.
Time for follow-ups.
Thank you.
Chair, my first issue is there's a serious drive by DTI to get rid of unnecessary red tape. Now, I think CEDA is in many instances in the code phase of how to address that, you know, or how to make it easier to do business. That is the point. There's a big argument in South Africa now that it takes a day in Tanzania to put up, to establish a business entity. Here it takes, I don't know how many steps and how many days, but certainly not, or weeks and so on. So what is CEDA's take on this whole issue about how can we make it easier to do business in South Africa? Then the other issue, Chair, is the call center. I see here that in the report, page 15, the call center handled 1,400-odd queries a year. Now, if you break it down to plus minus 250 working days, it works to 7 calls a day. If you work it down to hours, less, if you work 8 hours, it's less than a call an hour, which I don't think, with due respect, is very productive. So I can't remember if it was this term or the previous term where we visited the call center at the DTI campus. I don't know if the call center is still there, located physically. Not, no, it's a different one. But the fact of the matter is, I think the call center needs some explanation in terms of how much do you spend, what is the productivity, and so on and so forth. Then the other issue, Chair, is the unit, the rands per case. I see there on page 16 that the initial target was 3,600. 16. Initially it was 3,600, but the ratio in terms of your client and the funds spent. Now it's escalated to 13,000 per client business. So there's quite a substantial increase in that. It's almost 10,000 rand more than anticipated. So maybe there's explanation for that, and so on. Which then bring me to the last issue, Chair, is the issue about consultants. In the past, Chairperson, we had the issue about consultants that was used and paid too much and didn't deliver the goods that were supposed. What is the situation now with consultants? I don't know, I don't pick it up in the statements, but how much do you spend on consultants? And what is the value for money for that spending?
Chairperson wanted to comment, and then the CEO or the TDG would comment on this. Any other question?
I think the line of questions is coming. I think the CEO can tackle what I needed to say. Thank you, Chair.
CEO?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of making easier to do business, the Chief Operating Officer can talk about the strategy of developing IT systems in terms of the branch network, in setting up a center where those small businesses who do not necessarily want to be assisted, they can have access within a branch to work on the IT systems themselves. So those are one of the areas. We're looking at IT enablers to make sure that those businesses who are not in the rural areas, who can do their own thing in the internet, then they can have access. That's the way that we are looking at making easier to do business. In terms of the call center, you must recall that when we first established SEDA, there was a call center because we did not have this huge network. So as we go along, we have in excess of 100 call location points compared to nothing when SEDA was started. So that reduces the number of people who have to go to call, because people are comfortable in going to a branch and talking to a person rather than calling. That's why you see that there is a reduction. Hence, even in terms of personnel that were employed in the call center, you have one or two people compared to about six people when SEDA started. So that is the situation with the call center. In terms of the 13,000 versus the 3.6 band, we adopted what we call a client journey approach, where we do not just assist clients once off to come and then go. We go back, we spend a lot of time with clients, hence we are able to report on impact. And we also, through our surveys that we did with clients, established that for you to get impact, you do not necessarily have to have one intervention. There's a number of interventions. If, let's say, for example, a client wants to be assisted in terms of export development, there would be training in export development. You find that their products need certification. You find that they need some business planning. They need incentives. So it's a variety of interventions that are needed, which have reduced the cost. But at the end of the day, you are able to report more on impact than if you were to do once-off intervention. So the model is such that our business advisors go back after 6 months, after 12 months, after 18 months to see where the client is and to track it. Hence, we are able to report on the successes of a client or failures in terms of our intervention. How much do you spend on consultants? Our model earlier on was such that our business advisors were taking on less or dealing less with clients. Through our skills development intervention from frontline staff, we track this number over a period of time where our business advisors are taking on a lot more work than what we used to do at SEDA some good 3 or 4 years ago, because business advisors were, one, they were not skilled, they were not properly trained and so on. So as time goes on, we do track how much projects are being done by business advisors when we are comfortable that a business advisor has reached a stage where they can deal with more sophisticated clients, and we track that in and we dovetail that with the program of development of business advisors. So as we do that, we use less and less consultants, but we're taking a more cautious approach because we do not want to just take everything from consultants, because consultants are also small businesses, by the way, who do the work in assisting small businesses, because those consultants are small businesses, so we do not necessarily want to do away with them. But we're saying that there must be a balance between projects that are taken on by consultants and work that is done in-house by business advisors, by saying that we will allocate your more sophisticated projects with more sector focus to specialized service providers who are, let's say, for example, a service provider that is specializing in jewelry making or specializing in agro processing. If we do not have the skills, that's what we will ask a service provider to assist us with. But it is a strategy that we are monitoring. It's not something that is happening haphazardly. It's a constant approach that we are monitoring as and when our business advisors are amassing skills in specific areas of enterprise development. And then there was a question regarding the numbers of people in Gauteng and in Northern Cape. This question came up last year as well. In Gauteng province, we only have one branch compared to 5 or 6 branches in other provinces. I'm not talking about co-locations. The reason for this is that when SEDA was formed, Gauteng felt that there is a lot of enterprise development agencies to assist small businesses, and therefore there is no need for SEDA to establish branches. It was an agreement between the province in Gauteng, the Department of Economic Development. However, that is changing slightly now in terms of approach. Hence, I spoke earlier on about co-locations that we're establishing with the city of Tshwane, the West Rand, the city of Johannesburg, and so on. So you will see that there will be a change in terms of the numbers that we are reporting because of our existence in a number of points compared to the one branch that we have in Tshwane. And then in the Northern Cape, we've always had less numbers because I think the population in the Northern Cape is less compared to other provinces. So they moan. I can't say that because it's career limiting for me. I will only say that compared to other provinces, there's less numbers, and therefore it will reflect in the numbers of people that walk through our offices and that we ultimately work with. Thank you, Chair.
I think that the people are more or less in the Northern Cape. Honourable Sinclair, Honourable Van Lingen, and Honourable Adams.
You see what I must go through with this DA chairperson. Chair, no, just in terms of the consultants, can we have a list of per province, the consultants that you use? You see, I'm raising this, Chair, because, you know, there's always this issue that officials get appointed to do a specific job, but once they're in the job, they get comfortable, you know, and they start, no, you know, this is my expertise, but I'm more involved in this, let me rather give it to this, and so on. And if I can ask, if we can, per province, the consultants, a breakdown. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Did we cover the Northwest and what is happening in the Northwest? Did we talk about, did you respond on that part of the question? Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, now I just wanted to find out, you see, before I get to that, that's why the ruling party, we are thinking of looking at the provinces as well, so to bring in that less into the more. Chair, there's a buzzword going around in municipalities, specifically with the LEDs, informal economies. Informal economy. How does CEDA, do they see themselves playing a role or a part into this informal economy, assisting the build-up to the informal economy in terms of municipalities and that? We will still get, you know, I was sitting here and sending up silent prayers in terms of the Western Cape and ask the big man to come himself and not send Gabriel or anyone else for us to go into the Western Cape CEO and tackle the city of Cape Town as well as the government of the Western Cape. But our story is the informal economies. That, do you see that thing they can play a role in that? And do they, can they play a massive role? Because also that can assist provinces where there is more trees than people. For argument's sake, like your Northern Cape and that. Thanks.
CEO.
Thank you, Chair. We will indeed send a list of the consultants that we're using in provinces. I have to say up front that you will note that these consultants, if you look at who Kula uses, you will find that it's the same consultant. If you look at other agencies, it tends to be the same consultants because they specialize in specific areas. So you'll find consultants who specialize in enterprise development would be the same, but would be happy to send that list. In terms of Northwest, last year there was a question around less and less work that we are doing there. It will not have improved here because when you are setting up a partnership, it takes a lot of work to define areas, but there is change. You will see that we can sense the work that we're doing now in the Northwest. It may not necessarily reflect here because it was not there as at the year end, hence you will not find it in this annual report. but there are changes. As I said, in each province, we are working with various entities. I know that in terms of it may not be the municipalities have to check and talk about the work that they were doing there with the Royal Bafokeng that we are working with in terms of setting up a support program for enterprises in that area. In terms of the informal economy, I have to say that there are no massive interventions except for community collectively owned enterprises relating to co-ops and the work that we do in conjunction with the Apex Fund, where they do a lot of projects with cooperatives. It's perhaps an area that we'll be looking at as the department is also improving on the strategy on cooperatives development.
Chair, indeed a lot of work is happening in the province of the Northwest. The incubator on platinum, just last week the DTI had a technology awards and they were there displaying some of the most amazing wedding and otherwise rings, and I actually offered that I should get married once more. Looking at some of them, but when they told me that they worth about 30,000, 20,000, I realized I may have to review my my plan. but we working again with the Royal Bafokeng, we've established in partnership with CEDA, an entity that looks at giving awards at the end, ready to recognize people's efforts, but really to assist people who are involved, particularly in the mining sector, handhold them to a level where they become premium members of the club. And we believe that that will show a lot of results in the Northwest fairly soon, because the people that have been picked to handhold are people, when they tell you the kind of business and how they got there, they're just telling amazing stories. And these are experts that we are attempting to bring into our fold as well in all provinces. That we work with people that have been in business before. And I think that's one of the challenges that was shown earlier, is that we have a skill challenge generally. Because once you go into sophisticated businesses, it means that you need sophisticated personnel. And CEDA started by Foreman Ziga and so forth. What it means that we have people that were already appointed then that may not necessarily stack up to the level of a highly sophisticated businesses. So as we go on, we continue to try and employ people with better skills, but also use capacity that exists outside of the organization through incubation. And I may as well just use this opportunity to say that the question that says, is management hiding targets? The board is very tough on targets. What you see at times where people begin to exceed the target is because as the organization stabilizes, everybody being willing and finding job satisfaction, being willing to wake up in the morning to come to work, they tend to do more. And I think it emphasizes the point that it's very important in organizations to try and trim down on tensions that are unnecessary so as to motivate people to perform just a little bit more. And I think those are a few points. Thank you.
So, DDG?
Thanks, Chair. I think let me first comment about the chairperson and the ring that you are thinking of buying. You see, Chair, we have realized that we have all these incubators and the people can produce high-quality stuff. But in sectors like jewelry, like he's talking about that incubating. In terms of like jewelry, when the people have graduated from the incubator, they have to compete now with the big jewelers like Stans and Galaxies of this world. And what happens? Because it is a sector where you have to first establish a name and a brand before a person like the chairperson could fork out 20,000 or 30,000 and buy that ring. You will find that even if it's a top quality ring, people won't buy it because they don't know you. You know, they will always think, and I'm sure he thought about the quality himself, you know, it's shining, but is it really the genuine stuff? Yes. So what happens, Stans and Galaxies, when they get all these orders, they go to these small people and say, look, give us so many rings. This is the money we are giving you. And because they are hungry, they will accept it. You know? So one of the, and Chair, through your office, we will request an hour or so where we want to present the new programs that we want to develop. But one of those programs will be to look at things like the exhibition houses, working closely with the municipalities and the provinces to provide space for such people, you know, to exhibit maybe for a year or two, just establishing their names, more especially in those sectors where really you need a brand to be successful in the market. But then we will work through your office to come to this committee just to present and then get, you know, input from the members. But then coming back to the question raised by Honorable Abrams on the who qualifies, you know, for the academy. You know, working closely with the Department of Higher Education, they got to access the draft bill on the co-ops, and then they noticed that the DTI is proposing the establishment of the academy, and they didn't mince their words, Chair, in telling us that establishing an educational academy in South Africa is their mandate. So we then backed off a bit, but re-strategized that the agency itself, the agency, the COPS agency, will incorporate the academy at the beginning when the Department of Higher Education is working through their machinery to establish the co-ops academy now. But initially, yes, it's going to be incorporated under the agency. So the agency is going to be an institution that provides the financial and non-financial support. It will be able then, you know, to sift, you know, the potential people who could really form genuine co-ops from the rest of the people who are just taking a chance because the academy is there. So I'm confident they will be able to do that. But then the end game really is to establish the learning academy, the educational academy, where there will be provision of starting from the certificate to a master's degree. So again, there will be criteria which is, I think, is a normal criteria in terms of assessing and the level of requirements to assess such programs and educational programs within an academy. But I think the details will come with them as we develop these institutions further. Thanks. Yes.
Yes, thank you. I hope we won't be failing the objective of the co-ops, where the poorest of the poor, who is not educated, will then be suffering because we go through this academy. We must align the poorest of the poor with people that's already established and educated. Thank you.
I'm sure that is noted. CEO?
Chair, I wanted to say that in the annual report, we note success stories and we pick one from each province just to demonstrate that the kinds of things that we focus on. So on page 35, we do have the Mvelo Mining and Projects from Northwest. And as I said, that we'll be sending follow-up information on the work that we are doing in the Northwest. But if there are any other areas or partners that the committee would like to direct us to in terms of Northwest Province, we'll be more than happy to engage on that.
Okay, thanks very much. Thanks for very much for those responses. DDG, I did get a response that your unit or the department will be coming to my constituency. They gave a date, which was prompt action. So thanks very much for that. I hope Sita will be there. There's no more space now for opening offices. but what we raised about the location of offices, I think it's a matter of arithmetic and responding to the challenges that we have. For instance, the office in Richards Bay would cost you anything, I don't know, X amount, 15,000, 20,000. But if you open an office somewhere in the rural area, it will cost you 3,000. Or for free in traditional areas. So it's better to have a satellite in town and have the real offices in the rural area where people can access. I think it's a matter of arithmetic. That's the angle we're coming from. It doesn't assist us, but people will be proud. They'll even be proud to point at CEDA. Yeah. So, you know. But thanks very much for the presentations and questions to the honourable members. Fortunately or unfortunately, we have three sets of minutes that we've got to approve. Seven. Sets of minutes that we've got to approve. I hope you've gone through them. We can't leave these minutes now. We've got to, you went through them last night and you told your family that you are busy. They mustn't disturb you. But we'll excuse the department. We'll see them on the date that they visit. I hope also members are utilizing this, that they actually request agencies and the department to visit their constituencies. Now is the time. Please make it a point. You see, I made an appointment last week when the department was there and they contacted my constituencies and the date is there. So let us utilize them. But let us not use them, but must utilize them. let me excuse the department.
I didn't have time to read the minutes because I was on a real shopping spree like the CEO. I said, last night I was on a
real
shopping spree like the CEO.
No, the chairperson was shopping for a ring. Oh, now Honorable Adams is thinking he's going to exchange rings with the CEO. These are the draft minutes. We will await you, honourable members. minutes which are draft. One, because they are draft, page one, you must first see whether you are present and so on, and then approve or disapprove the minutes. Honorable Abraham.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My surname, right through the document, if it can just be corrected, it's Abrahams and not Abraham. Thank you.
Abrahams. Abrahams. So it's just a matter of adding S. Okay. Honorable Adams or Adams.
On the first set of minutes, it was done so long ago that I'm really archiving now to get the memory to see with it. But I will propose adoption. If there's any corrections to it, I'll propose it with corrections.
Is the proposal on funding and second? February draft 2. But we need to remind ourselves, I think at one stage we took a decision about minutes, that we at least we need to approve them within a certain space of time. Maybe we need to retrieve that and say, as from next year, we'll do that. But what normally happens, maybe we have some presentations and they take long, and after that, we don't have time to deal with minutes. It's either we change the format of the program, we start with the minutes, and so on. But it's not nice that they stay so long. They are more than stale. And you must remember that the committee secretary also was not around for some time when he was thinking of joining the disability group. And then he had second thoughts. We don't need new members. Well, Mgodi?
Chairperson, now seeing that the minutes date back as far back as February, actually, I would say some of the issues, I don't have the memory, correct memory. What did you say then? When I read those minutes, just something new to me. So I would propose that for the last 6 months, we just approve the minutes as they are, except as for spelling corrections there, because really, some have lost memory of what we said.
The proposal on the table? Seconded. So 6 months ends where? In the last page?
That's all the minutes.
That's all the minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all the minutes. That's all the minutes. Okay. So then in principle we have approved all the minutes. Thanks very much for being so progressive. Honorable Sinclair, please don't take us to court.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Chair, on the last minutes of the ones that we must now approve of the 12th of April, there was something that's not correct and I didn't agree with. So I just want you to amend it. We had a meeting and he said that we adjourned at 12:50, but we actually adjourned at 12:55. So there's an amendment, so.
But honourable members, thanks very much. Honourable Dekhare.
Yes.
Chairperson, I was saying we are adopting the minutes, but the managers, the management team should go and check on the spelling and check everything before you submit. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Honourable Ma. The meeting is adjourned. I hope it's not at something 55 or 50.
Thank you.